Broadcasting in English. Hello and thanks for joining us for this half-hour transmission from Radio Prague. I'm Danielle Lazarová. It's been a somber week at the Czech capital in the wake of ex-president Václav Havel's death. Christmas festivities have been toned down and many parties and celebrations scrapped. In memory of the late ex-president, Radio Prague has decided to wind up the week of special programming with Václav Havel's only radio play, dating back to the first half of 1968, when he was at the height of his creative powers. Not long after it was completed, Soviet tanks brought an end to the reforms of the Prague Spring, and for two decades the play was left on the shelf. A few years ago, Radio Prague recorded Guardian Angel in a first-ever English-language production in a translation by Paul Wilson. The production features Gordon Truffit as the menacing uninvited guest Machoň and Gerald Turner as the shy and impressionable playwright Vavák. It is directed by David Vaughan. I hope you'll enjoy it.
How do you do? Mr. Vavák?
Yes, that's me. How do you do?
Oh, wonderful. I'm in the right place. May I come in?
Of course. This way, please. Let me take your coat. You can leave that suitcase here.
No, I'll just take it with me. Do you have some slippers? I've got a pair of new shoes. They're killing me.
Oh, well, of course. You can have mine.
What are you going to wear?
Oh, I'll just wear my socks. Would you mind if I ask...
Is this the living room?
Yes. Do you mind if I ask...
And that over there?
The bedroom.
And there?
My study.
A nice apartment. Can we sit in your study?
If you like. It's a bit of a mess.
Oh, I don't mind. A cosy mess is better than ordered discomfort. Where should I sit?
How about here?
Oh, I'd rather sit over there. I like to be able to look out. I can tell you're curious about that suitcase. Well, we'll get to that right away. Oh, do you mind if I smoke?
Oh, of course not.
But I'm right out of cigarettes. I forgot to buy some.
Oh, have one of mine.
Hey, do you have a light? Could I ask for a glass of milk, if you have one?
Milk? Oh, I'll have a look. There you are.
Would you mind sticking it in the fridge for a bit?
Oh, as you wish.
Not a bad little setup.
Oh, it's okay.
Nice view.
Oh, yes.
Too bad it's all the way up on the fifth floor.
Oh, I agree.
What are the neighbours like?
Oh, I hardly know them.
You don't keep in with them?
I beg your pardon?
The neighbours?
Not really.
Well, you should, you know. I know it's neither here nor there, but on the other hand, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm sorry, but might I ask...
Go right ahead.
Oh, who exactly are you?
My name's Machoň, Carol Machoň.
Ah.
What's that over there?
What?
Right over there.
Oh, just some books.
Really? And what are they about?
Philosophy.
Oh, is that so? Now, that could be really interesting.
Do you mind if I ask you why you're here?
You don't know me.
Well, not that I recall.
Ah, but you will.
Was it the army?
Do you go to the circus very often?
I think I've been all of once. And that was a good many years ago.
8 years. It was the circus Humberto. I was sitting beside you.
Really?
Yes.
Now, isn't that interesting? I'm sorry I didn't recognise you after all those years.
We spoke at the time.
We did?
What about?
You asked me the name of the tightrope walker.
And you knew it?
Jerzy Spacek.
What a remarkable memory you have.
After that, we saw quite a lot of each other.
Is that so? Where?
Well, for instance, in Chesky Krumlov, we were in the same group when they took us round the castle the year before last. June. And I can't tell you now whether it was the 9th or the 16th.
In Chesky Krumlov? Oh, yes, of course. I was there on holiday.
There. You see, the penny's beginning to drop. Last year, I was on the same tram as you. 5 or 6 times, the 23 to Davitsa in the morning.
Last year? The 23?
You were always reading some screenplay or other.
Right. Now I know. That was last spring, wasn't it?
Besides that, I met you at least 3 times in the street. Once we even bumped into each other.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
Not to worry. The last time we met was about a month ago at the National Conference on Comedy. It was during the break. I was standing beside you. Well, you know where.
You were there?
I was interested in your reaction to the introductory paper. You were mentioned in it.
I was? Oh, it must have been right at the very beginning.
Yeah, right off the top.
The thing is, I arrived late. I was held up at the dentist's. So you were at that conference? In what capacity?
I've already told you. I was interested in how you'd react to the introductory paper.
You already knew what was going to be in it?
Well, not entirely.
You were. If you'll allow me, what I'm trying to say is, look, there's obviously something deeper that connects you to me, personally.
Well, mainly your work. I've got all your plays at home, and I always go to your opening nights.
Really? I'm delighted.
And besides that, my colleagues and I talk about you quite often at work. All of us follow your writing with great interest. Every time you have a success, we're always very pleased. Have you run out of milk?
Oh, should I pop down to the shop?
Not just yet.
Excuse me, but might I ask where it is you actually work?
Oh, it's neither here nor there.
I'm so sorry I didn't recognise you right away. I mean, since we've run into each other so often.
Oh, you can't possibly know everyone who knows you.
But I should have known you. I'm glad that we've met.
Me too. What's your wife up to?
She's at work.
Do you like your milk sweetened too?
By and large, I'm not a big milk drinker.
Would you mind if I have another cigarette?
Oh, of course not.
So, how's Guardian Angel coming on, then?
How do you know the title?
Oh, you mentioned it to somebody when I was standing beside you at the conference. Well, you know where I mean.
Ah. Well, I'm about halfway through it.
I can hardly wait to see it.
I only hope you're not disappointed.
Oh, certainly not. I have great faith in you. You know, normally you couldn't drag this out of me, but just let me say it. I'm a real fan. There. I've said it.
You're very kind.
I have a great respect for your talent.
Thank you.
Whenever I can, I give you a little boost.
That's most kind of you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, do you mind if I ask, how exactly do you give me a boost?
Let's just leave it at that.
But couldn't you give me just a hint?
Oh, it's neither here nor there. Why don't you open my suitcase?
All right. All right.
There's a gift in there for you.
For me?
Don't say a word, just open it up. That's only a modest little offering, but you'll know that I'm not just beating my gums when I say I feel very strongly about you.
Why, that's wonderful. What is it?
Guess.
A new kind of vacuum cleaner?
No.
A washing machine?
No.
An automatic duster?
Well, you're getting warm.
I give up.
An atomic hair polisher.
I beg your pardon?
An atomic hair polisher.
An atomic hair polisher?
Yes, an atomic hair polisher.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, of course you haven't. It's an experimental prototype. My brother made it. He's a mechanic.
how kind of you. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. And a prototype. Oh, it's a pity.
What's a pity?
Oh, it's a pity that, well, as a rule, I never polish my hair.
You never polish your hair? You of all people? Everyone knows who you are. People stop and stare at you when you walk down the street. It's important to make a good impression, after all. It makes sense. You'll see, you're going to look incredibly elegant.
How does it work?
Oh, it's not complicated at all. And what's the voltage here?
220.
I thought as much. You see, the polisher runs on 16,000 volts, so I took the liberty of bringing along a small transformer.
How thoughtful of you. You think of everything.
We plug it into the wall here, and we plug the other end into the polisher, and we turn it on here.
You're making me feel very guilty. You shouldn't have gone to all this trouble. How can I ever pay you back?
Oh, your pleasure is my reward. Now, you see this bit here?
Yes. It looks like a crusader's helmet.
Well, this is the so-called central accelerator. You slide your head into this opening before you start the polishing process. But before you do that, of course, you have to wash your hair. You turn the accelerator on here, and you adjust it here, and then it starts polishing.
What's the principle behind it?
Oh, it's very simple. A secondary electrical current is produced here, and it passes through here into your hair, which becomes polarized in such a way that your hair forms a conductive loop round your head. Through this contact point B, the primary current of 16,000 volts is admitted into this circuit.
But that will kill me.
Well, as long as you don't wiggle your head excessively inside the accelerator, you won't come to any harm. There's a layer of air between the polarized hair and your skin, which acts as a perfect insulator. And besides that, the secondary current, even though it has a high voltage, has a tiny intensity. You remember Ohm's law, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Right. So then you turn this little tap on the xenon pressure tank that comes with it, thus admitting heated xenon into the accelerator. Its atoms unleash a current which flows round your head in a circuit that has already been created. The atoms begin circulating as well. They accelerate. That's where the name of the device comes from. The way it does in a cyclotron until it reaches a critical peak of acceleration, at which point the xenon begins to break down into germanium and strontium. What's happening here is a splitting process, which is in fact a kind of artificial radioactivity. A thin layer of germanium, and germanium is, as you certainly know, a metal, fixes itself to your hair. Which is what gives rise to the special effect characterized by a high degree of polish.
Oh, that's really quite interesting. And how long does this whole process take?
Just under 3 hours.
Oh, well, that's...
Of course, every 2 hours you have to repeat it. The layer of germanium starts corroding very quickly and the shiny coating on your hair oxidizes and produces germanic oxide, which not only does it not shine, but also acts as a corrosive capable of seriously compromising the quality of your hair and in some cases causing baldness. You have to be careful.
I'm sorry, I'm only a layman, but I do have one very minor question. You said the splitting process also gives rise to strontium. Isn't there a danger of radiation?
There's a risk in everything. It's your choice. Either you have shiny hair or you live in a state of hypochondriac panic.
Oh, well then, let me just say that I appreciate your brother's mechanical inventiveness.
Thank you.
And you're right. Well-polished hair is synonymous with elegance.
That's indisputable.
I know finally, or more precisely, I'm sincerely persuaded that with this polisher I may achieve a shine that I could never achieve using hair oil, which in any case is unhygienic.
Precisely.
I admit all this, but I'm still not entirely convinced that the time, the energy, the stress, and the risk to my health that I'd have to invest in this method of hair polishing, are entirely in proportion to the final, even though otherwise indisputable, effect.
Well, yes, there is a certain disproportion here. We both know that, my brother and I.
All the same, it's a magnificent gift, which I really don't deserve.
Can I borrow your handkerchief?
Of course.
Thank you. There you are.
No, really, it was most kind of you. I really don't deserve it. And you came to see me just for that?
No. I brought it so as not to come empty-handed. And even so, I feel guilty.
Oh, why should you feel guilty?
Neither here nor there. You know, I'm a bit of a strange bird. When I like someone, I could walk through bloody fire for them. Of course, I get a good ribbing from the boys at work. One of these days, these artists will be the shitting death of you, they say. Oh, well, next time I'll bring you something more to your liking.
Oh, look, don't be upset. I'll give it a try tomorrow. I really will.
Promise?
Scout's honour.
If only you knew how much this means to me. You know, I couldn't sleep if I thought you still had reservations about it.
Oh, they were just silly little objections. After all, your brother knows what he's doing. Well, I'm just a mere layman. I'm already looking forward to the new me. My wife won't even know me. She'll fall in love with me all over again. Whatever.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
Oh, well, then.
So? You know, I'm a kind of an odd bird. Whenever I take a liking to someone...
You could walk through fire for them.
How do you know that?
Oh, it says it's written all over you.
You're quite a psychologist. Anyway, that's the reason I've come here. I simply have to lend you a hand.
Lend a hand?
Actually, the matter is I've decided to do everything within my power to help you. I know I'm taking a risk, but forgive me for saying so. I simply cannot leave you in this situation.
I beg your pardon, but am I in some kind of situation? I'm not aware of anything.
My friend, I think I've made my relationship to you quite clear, so why are you trying to make out that you don't know what's going on?
I'm sorry, but I really... In any case, I'm not certain that even if I were in some kind of situation that, after everything you've done for me, I'd still... deserve.
Why these interminable scruples and apologies? You artists always have to have compunctions about things. If I didn't want to help you, I mean really and truly help you, I wouldn't have bothered to come here in the first place, let alone bring... But enough of that. That's a nice tie you're wearing.
Oh, it was a present from my mother.
Oh, well, in that case, keep it.
Oh, God, I didn't mean it in that way. Oh, look, here, take it.
How's it look?
Smashing. Sorry to bring this up again, but you have to understand it's not that I don't want your help, or that I don't appreciate it. On the contrary, since you say so, I certainly must be in serious need of it. But the thing is, I'm embarrassed to admit I don't know, at this moment, why exactly I need your help.
All right. Look, I'm going to be straight with you. You still look pretty young for your age.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you do, on the level. You do, and you're pretty famous.
Oh, come on now, but that's going a bit too far.
You are. Why not admit it? You're famous, and you also made some pretty good coin. Even managed to put some of it aside.
Hmm?
Of course you have. Why not admit it? It's a pretty penny, too. You've got a beautiful wife, but you haven't exactly been a slouch with other women, either. Particularly in the last little while.
Well, I...
Don't deny it, you old rogue.
Well, if you say so.
There, you see? A nice apartment, a car, you're set for life.
But that's precisely why I'm feeling a little awkward when you talk about helping me. Do you think I'm in some kind of danger?
That depends.
I don't understand what you mean.
If you take my advice, you won't come to any harm.
And if I don't?
You know what? Let's just forget about it.
Oh, my God, I didn't mean it that way. No, I'd actually be delighted to take your advice. I only want to know what kind of danger I'm facing.
If you take my advice, none at all.
Then would you please tell me?
Okay. Look, you're set for life. And it wouldn't make any sense to lose everything you've gained through all that hard work just for a silly little detail.
Oh, well, it certainly wouldn't. What little detail?
Do you shave?
Every morning.
Do you look in the mirror when you shave?
Of course.
And you haven't noticed anything peculiar about yourself?
What should I have noticed?
Well, think about it.
Ah, you mean I don't have polished hair? Oh, that will change tomorrow.
It's not about hair.
Really, I don't know what you're talking about.
What about your ears?
My ears? What about them?
Have you never noticed how big they are?
Oh, they're a bit prominent. But I don't understand what it has to do with my future.
A bit prominent? They're like the ears on a bleeding elephant.
Well, even if they are, what of it?
Look, if you don't believe me, or if you think I'm leading you round by the nose, just say so, and I'm out of here.
Oh, look, forgive me, I lost it for a moment. Of course I know my ears are a bit on the large side. Well, so?
I ask you to consider this. What are ears for?
To hear, right?
Right. And if someone has a naturally large ears, what does this mean?
Oh, but surely the kind of ears a man has is a fluke of nature, isn't it?
You can't seriously think that. Do you really believe in flukes?
Well,
you see, I'm telling you, my friend, in nature there's a reason for everything.
Oh, but surely that's a matter of entire generations.
There's nothing abstract about generations. Generations are the product of people. Very specific people. And that means you too, huh?
But surely there's nothing wrong with listening.
What do you mean by that? Explain yourself.
Look, you have to understand. It kind of goes with the job. Listening to conversations. To how people speak. Hearing what they say. How they think.
There, you see it. And you're trying to tell me that you don't need help.
Well, I've certainly made an awful lot of mistakes. I've always tried to write what I actually hear people say. But I still don't understand what in the world, today especially, is wrong with that.
You know, everything's a lot more complicated than you writers think it is.
But I can't help my ears. Surely you can understand that.
You're trying to deny modern biology?
But I was born with them.
That big?
Well, they may have grown a little over time, but...
There, you see. Your theories have taken you down a dead-end street. But it doesn't matter, because I'm going to help you. That's why I came after all. You know, you artists are just like children. If it wasn't for us, I don't know. At the same time, you're lucky it's me who's taken a liking to you, since I can do so much for people.
Mr. Markham, I really and truly appreciate this.
You see. I'm glad you've understood me correctly. Really, I'm thinking only of your own good. You know what people are like. I know that often when you write something, you don't really mean to offend, but you'll always find somebody who can find fault with what you say, so why provoke people pointlessly? I understand your mindset, you artists. For God's sake, I've been following you guys for donkey's years. Don't you think I don't know how tempting it is to write something that you might have heard somewhere? Think realistically. Does it make sense to get mixed up in things like that? After all, in the end, none of it amounts to sod all.
I know you mean well. I don't doubt that. Couldn't I just... plug my ears with cotton wool.
Are you out of your mind? Just what exactly do you think this is all about? Yeah? After a couple of hours, the cotton is going to start itching, and then you'll take it out, and you'll happen to overhear something, and you'll spit it all out on paper. And do you think I'm going to let myself get tossed out on the street because of that? Now, I've done a lot for artists, but I am not going to play the fool for anybody.
So,
What do you suggest?
We take steps. And your troubles will be over for the rest of your life.
Steps? What kind of steps?
You'll see.
What's that?
Shh. Ears.
What do you mean, ears?
Shears. Allow me.
I don't like this.
Shut up and keep still.
Guardian Angel, a radio play by Václav Havel. Thanks for joining us on the eve of Christmas Day, and I'd like to invite you to two Christmas specials which Radio Prague is broadcasting on Sunday and Monday. On the first day, you can enjoy Christmas carols sung by a children's choir. On the second, meet Academy Award-winning musician Markéta Irglová. This is Daniela Lazarová wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
vous écoutez Radio Prague.